The Raising of Lazarus, Jesus' Power Over Death. The story of the raising of Lazarus is a tale of friendship, faith, and the divine authority of Jesus over life and death. Found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, this narrative is one of the most profound miracles Jesus performed during his earthly ministry, revealing his identity as the Son of God and foreshadowing his own resurrection. Part 1. A Desperate Plea. In the small village of Bethany, nestled on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, lived three siblings, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Their home was a place of warmth, love, and hospitality. They were close friends of Jesus, who often visited their house. It was a sanctuary for him, a place where he found rest and comfort away from the pressures of his public ministry. One day, however, their peaceful life was shattered. Lazarus, the beloved brother, fell gravely ill. Mary and Martha, who loved him deeply, tended to him as best they could, but their efforts seemed in vain. The sickness grew worse, and the shadow of death loomed closer. In their desperation, they sent a message to Jesus, who was teaching across the Jordan River. "Lord, the one you love is sick." The message was simple, but it carried with it an unspoken plea. They did not ask Jesus to come, knowing that he would understand the urgency. They trusted in his power to heal and believed he would not delay in coming to save their brother. When Jesus received the message, his response was unusual. Instead of immediately setting out for Bethany, he said to his disciples, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Then astonishingly, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. The disciples were confused. They knew how much Jesus loved Lazarus, yet he lingered. What could this delay mean? Jesus often acted in ways that defied human understanding, and this was no different. Finally, after 2 days, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples hesitated. "But Rabbi," they protested, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered them with a cryptic saying, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." Then he added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." The disciples misunderstood and thought Jesus was speaking of natural sleep. They said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus then spoke plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." It was then that Thomas, also called Didymus, said to the other disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Part 2. A Time of Mourning. By the time Jesus and his disciples arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. In Jewish custom, the belief was that the soul of the deceased hovered around the body for 3 days before departing entirely. After 4 days, death was considered irrevocable. Bethany was filled with mourners who had come to comfort Mary and Martha. The atmosphere was heavy with grief, and the sisters were heartbroken. Their beloved brother was gone, and though they had sent for Jesus, he had not come in time to save him. When Martha heard that Jesus was approaching the village, she left the house and ran to meet him. Her heart was full of emotion, grief, confusion, and perhaps even disappointment. She believed in Jesus' power, but Lazarus was already dead. What could be done now? "Lord," Martha said, her voice trembling, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus looked at her with compassion and said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha, who was a devout believer in the resurrection of the dead, replied, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus then spoke words that would resonate through the ages. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Martha, despite her grief, affirmed her faith. "Yes, Lord," she said. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After this, Martha went back to the house and told her sister Mary, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." Mary, who had been sitting in the house surrounded by mourners, quickly rose and went to Jesus. The people followed her, thinking she was going to the tomb to weep for her brother. When she reached Jesus, she fell at his feet, sobbing. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died," she said, echoing her sister's words. Jesus was deeply moved by her weeping and the grief of the people around her. He was not immune to the pain of death and loss. Though he knew what he was about to do, he asked, "Where have you laid him?" "Come and see, Lord," they replied. As they led him to the tomb, Jesus wept. It was a moment of profound empathy. Though he held the power over death, he shared in the sorrow of those who mourned. The people who witnessed this said, "See how he loved him." But some wondered aloud, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Part 3. The Miracle at the Tomb. When they arrived at the tomb, it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Jesus, his voice calm but commanding, said, "Take away the stone." Martha, ever practical, voiced her concern. "But Lord, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Jesus gently reminded her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" With trembling hands, the stone was rolled away. The stench of death filled the air, but Jesus stood firm. He lifted his eyes to heaven and prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Then with a loud voice that carried the authority of heaven, he cried out, "Lazarus, come out!" For a moment there was silence. The crowd held its breath, unsure of what to expect. Could it be possible? Could a man dead for 4 days rise from the grave? Then out of the darkness of the tomb, Lazarus appeared. His body was still wrapped in the grave clothes, strips of linen covering his face, hands, and feet. The people gasped in astonishment and fear. Lazarus, once dead, was alive. Jesus gave a simple command, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The people rushed forward to unwrap Lazarus, their hands trembling as they removed the linen strips. As the bindings fell away, they saw with their own eyes that Lazarus was indeed alive, whole and well. The crowd was awestruck. Some fell to their knees in worship, while others ran back to the village to tell everyone what had happened. The miracle was undeniable, and it spread like wildfire. Part 4. The Power of the Resurrection. The raising of Lazarus was not just a display of Jesus' power. It was a profound revelation of his identity. In raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus declared himself as the source of life, the one who has authority over death. The miracle was a foretaste of his own resurrection and the eternal life he promised to all who believe in him. For Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the miracle brought unspeakable joy. Their family, once torn apart by death, was restored. But the raising of Lazarus also had far-reaching implications beyond their household. It became the catalyst for a chain of events that would lead to the crucifixion of Jesus. Many of the Jews who witnessed the miracle believed in Jesus, but others went to the Pharisees and reported what had happened. The religious leaders, who were already plotting against Jesus, saw this miracle as the final straw. They feared that if Jesus continued to perform such signs, everyone would believe in him, and the Romans would come and take away their temple and nation. From that day on, they plotted to kill Jesus. But Jesus, knowing that his time had not yet come, withdrew to a remote area with his disciples. However, the raising of Lazarus remained a powerful testimony to Jesus' divine authority. It was a sign that pointed to the greater miracle that was yet to come, his own resurrection from the dead. Just as he had called Lazarus out of the tomb, so too would he emerge from the grave, defeating death once and for all. Conclusion: the eternal hope. The story of Lazarus is more than just a historical account of a miraculous event. It is a message of hope for all believers. It teaches us that Jesus is not only the giver of life, but that he holds power over death itself. In a world where death often feels like the final word, the raising of Lazarus reminds us that in Christ, death is not the end. Through this miracle, Jesus demonstrated that he is the resurrection and the life. His words to Martha echo through the centuries. "The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." This is the promise that sustains the faith of countless believers. an eternal hope rooted in the power of Jesus over life and death. In him, even the grave loses its sting, and the darkness of death is overcome by the light of resurrection.